Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Little bit of news, though. My friend Chris Canty, little bit of news. No Rick DiPietro today. It's just me and you.
No, it's just you and I, unsupervised. Rick DiPietro decided he's going to have a three-day weekend. So, you know, he left it up to us to be able to hold him down. And you know we got his back. So let's get to it.
Let's get to it. We got a lot to get in. I mean, a lot to get into. There's the story about the NBA and guys seemingly getting very nervous right now. We got the Colin Kaepernick story of Pete Carroll saying what he said when they gave him a tryout back in 2017. Major League Baseball, right? We're going to have some tears for them because apparently the owners are in dire financial situation. So certainly a lot for us to get into. Let's start guest as well, Jordan Renan at 10:30. You know, this Daniel Jones stuff is interesting, and we'll get into it with Jordan. But, I mean, this is a guy now you're finding out is having kind of, you know, small throwing camps down in Texas. We heard about what he said as far as wanting to be a team leader. You have to feel good if you're the Giants and the Giants fans about Daniel Jones right now.
No, you have to feel good about it. And one of the sneaky good offseason acquisitions that Dave Gettleman made was signing Colt McCoy as the backup, because Colt McCoy in part helped arrange these throwing sessions down at the University of Texas for Daniel Jones and the skill position players for the Giants. So, I mean, we talked about it. I don't know what Colt McCoy brings to the table at this stage in his career on the field, but the intangibles and the value that he has in terms of helping Daniel Jones come into his own, that part about it makes this a great move by Dave Gettleman. Probably one of the better moves that he's had in his two-year tenure as general manager.
Yeah, I like it as well. Tim Kirkchin, about what's going on with Major League Baseball at 11:30. And I would say this, so we'll get into the Kaepernick situation in just a moment. 800-919-3776 based on what Pete Carroll had to say. But I would say this, I think that, listen, you don't want Colt McCoy to start eight games for you, but no. Colt McCoy for a half or to a spot starter, I think is more than capable, wouldn't you say?
No, he's a competent NFL quarterback, Dave. He started some games, and the offense is not going to fall apart if he has to play. I mean, it's not going to look like what the Jets looked like last year when they didn't have Sam Darnold, and they were rolling out Luke Falk and David Fales.
That was bad.
It won't look like that. You won't have 100 total yards of offense with Colt McCoy as your quarterback. So, yeah, I guess he's the guy that you don't want to see, because that means something's wrong with Daniel Jones. But in a pinch, can he come in and play and give your team a chance of being competent? Yes, he can do that. So,
all right, let's start with
a solid move.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Let's start with Colin Kaepernick. We'll get into the Giants at 10:30. We'll get to your calls, 800-919-3776. And Pete Carroll spoke yesterday. We'll hear from him in just a moment on Seahawks.com. But, you know, I feel, and I would think you do as well, although I don't know 100% your opinion, it's time, right? We've played this game. We've danced this dance. He's not capable. He's not competent. Well, now coaches are coming out saying, you know what? He was competent enough to be a starter a couple of years back, looks to be in great shape still. It's time for this guy to get another chance in the NFL.
Yeah, I think it's time for Colin Kaepernick to get another chance in the NFL. Now, Dave, as we sit here today, I don't know that that's going to happen. And there's not a lot Roger Goodell in the NFL league office can do in terms of forcing teams to move that direction and give him a chance, a tryout, or potentially sign him. But, I mean, I just feel like based on where we're at, the climate in this country, and how we feel about social inequality and racism, I mean, Colin Kaepernick essentially lost his job by peacefully protesting. And everybody will look back on what he did in 2016 and agree that it was the right message and he was within his rights in terms of the format of the protest. So it would seem that even if he wanted to continue that protest, that it wouldn't affect whatever team he was on's bottom line. It wouldn't affect their bottom line. So from that standpoint, it feels like the door has been opened, but I just don't know if there are any NFL owners that are willing to walk through it. And so that's why I'm not as bullish as some people are that Colin Kaepernick will get an opportunity to play in the NFL again.
I gotta be honest with you, that's a shame, and it kind of saddens me, because it's a guy that, I mean, when you look at the crux of what he did, he went to Nate Boyer, He said, give me a rational, peaceful way to protest. This is a guy that was in the military, that was a Green Beret, and this is what they came up with. And he followed that to a T, and now he's ostracized from the NFL. So look, we all agree. Roger Goodell even, right? They all kind of, we don't want kneeling, and Jerry Jones came out with it. It feels like it's been wronged, and I agree, and most would agree with that, that he's been wronged. Well, now's the opportunity for, and it only takes one team to right the situation. And I hope at some point before the season starts or during the season or at some point, because apparently I was reading the other day, he's in incredible shape, Chris. I hope that one of those teams goes out there and rights the wrong that was done 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's been reported that during this 3-year span that he's been out of football, he's been working out 5 days a week. So, I mean, it's not surprising to me that he would be in great shape. He would be ready to go if he were to get that call. The only question is, will he get that opportunity? And, you know, Dave, I'm with you. I think this is an opportunity for the NFL not to make it right, because I don't think they can make it all the way right with Cap. Mm-mm. You're talking about taking away 3 years in the prime of his career, but you can make the situation better. And while I don't know whether or not owners are willing to do it, I guess owners should be motivated to do this, because you have to look at how the NFL players are looking at the league as a whole. Right now, Roger Goodell and the NFL owners have a problem in terms of their relationship with the players. And that's in part based on how they ostracize Colin Kaepernick. So you got to figure Roger Goodell is trying to find ways to remedy the situation, to repair those relationships, because when you got Pat Mahomes and other star players around the NFL putting that video together and the message that they sent late last week, I just feel like the league has no choice but to respond and try to enter into an official relationship with Colin Kaepernick in some capacity. Now, will that mean he has a job playing quarterback on a team? I don't know. But at some point, you're going to have to welcome Colin Kaepernick back into the NFL. And I just don't know what that looks like right now, but it's got to happen.
I'll tell you what, it would go a long way for the players to buy into whatever that specific owner is selling if you went ahead and did that. I mean, if you're whatever team it is, your players would have your back, because, I mean, I would say 90%+ of the players in the league are absolutely pro-Kaepernick. This is not a players are anti what he's standing for and what he's doing. This is more the owners and their concern about the bottom line. But I think you win over a lot of your team if you go ahead and bring him in and sign him.
Well, Dave, you bring up an interesting point. I think a lot of guys in the NFL are behind Colin Kaepernick, and they supported what he did, even if they didn't use the same format of protest back in 2016. The league is 70% black. And so for a lot of NFL players, they understand firsthand what Colin Kaepernick was advocating for. So, yeah, it would go a long ways if an owner decided to sign Colin Kaepernick to give him a job. It would create a lot of goodwill between that owner and his players.
Yep.
And I think that would change some of the conversations that are being had amongst players in the NFL, and in terms of, you know, whether or not this is an actual real partnership between the league and its players. So I think that, again, Dave, we keep coming back to the same thing. The NFL was absolutely wrong in their stance, and Roger Goodell admitting that was a huge first step, but it's still just a first step. There are other actions that need to happen.
And
absolutely. I think a part of that is bringing Colin Kaepernick back into the NFL family. Now, Dave, one of the ideas that I floated out there earlier this week on another show was, you know, the NFL entertaining the idea of asking Colin Kaepernick to be a part of their Inspire Change initiative. And you saw yesterday that they just committed another $250 million over a 10-year span for social justice causes. Why not ask Colin Kaepernick to come back and be a part of implementing that program and officially be in the NFL family? I think that's a great idea. That's something that Roger Goodell can directly control, where you really don't need the consent of the owners because he's not going to be on the field. So I just think that there are ways, if they want to get creative, to bring Colin Kaepernick in without dictating to an NFL team to sign him. I think that's one of those things. I would love for him to have a job. I would love for him to have an opportunity. But another avenue that the NFL can go down is if we can try to bring him back in and put him as the face of our new social justice initiatives.
I would love it. And I think it would be a smart move for the NFL. 800-919-3776. Is it time for the NFL to bring Colin Kaepernick back? And just to show you how wrong they were, Pete Carroll yesterday on Seahawks.com said at the time that they worked with him, that they tried him out, they saw him as a starter and they in fact regrets not signing Colin Kaepernick.
The reason it wasn't the right fit is because they held him in such high regard. I didn't see him as a backup quarterback, and I didn't want to put him in that situation with Russ, and I just didn't feel like it would fit right. So that's the way I felt about it. I just wish it would happen, and I wish we would have been a part of it when the time was available. Then, you know, we're kind of set up right now, so it's football wise, it doesn't seem to fit us. But like I said, but there's a lot of time here. We'll see what happens.
I respect Pete Carroll. I like a lot of what he has to say, Chris. I'm a little bothered by that because he was clearly better than your backup quarterback. And if you saw him as a starter, you couldn't envision him, God forbid something happens to Russell Wilson, as a more than capable starting quarterback. So I don't know. I don't love that soundbite, to be honest with you.
No, I don't love it either. It seems a little bit disingenuous. And, you know, he talks about whether or not it's the right football fit. And we thought he was, you know, you thought he was a starting quarterback, so we didn't want to put him in the position of having to be a backup. I mean, this is kind of like when somebody gives a potential employer their resume and the employer says,
so you're overqualified. Yep.
That's exactly what that is. I don't know of any NFL head coach that wouldn't like to have two starting caliber quarterbacks on his team. I mean, you could argue that it's the second most important position on any club, the backup quarterback.
Sure.
So, I mean, I don't understand that move when you're rolling out with Austin Davis as your backup back in 2017. You can't convince me that Colin Kaepernick wouldn't have been a better alternative. So maybe there are some, you know, dynamics in the locker room that we're not aware of. Maybe they just didn't want to put that kind of player, that caliber of quarterback behind Russell Wilson because maybe some of the other guys in the locker room didn't buy in fully to Russell Wilson. That might have been a part of the equation, but to me, this was a missed opportunity to do the right thing. And to say that, you know, you're kind of set at that backup spot now when your backup is Geno Smith, I mean, come on, give me a break. So this is about Pete Carroll not wanting to bring Colin Kaepernick in the organization. Maybe it's not a football thing. Maybe it's a concern about all the other things that would come along with Kaepernick.
Yeah, but what happens if every team has concern about all the other things that come along with Kaepernick and he doesn't get a job again because of that? I mean, then it's the same problem we've had for 4 years now.
It's the same problem we've had, and round we go, Dave. And listen, Dominique Foxworth made this point earlier this week that a lot of teams are going to lean on the bureaucracy of things in order to avoid directly answering the question of whether or not Kaepernick should be employed by them. Like the NFL owners can say, oh, well, my football people never brought this problem to me. They never brought this Colin Kaepernick, you know, debate to me on whether or not we should sign him. The GM can say, oh, the coach doesn't necessarily think it's a fit. And the coach can say personnel decisions are not his department. So, I mean, they can all lean on each other and say, oh, well, I don't know. This other person might not be on board with that. I can't answer those questions. And to me, that's just dodging the question of, when will the NFL do right by Colin Kaepernick? And at some point, I think that somebody's got to consider giving him a job. But, Dave, I just don't know if that's going to happen. I feel like that should happen, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
Well, I mean, the question is here. Is he one of the best 64 quarterbacks in the world in your mind right now?
Yes.
Okay, then that's it. Yes. Then that's it. I mean, really, in essence, if we've come anywhere over the last 4 years and he's one of the best 64 quarterbacks in the world, and we're saying we were wrong for – In fact, punishing him 4 years ago, isn't it time for someone to give him a chance? Like it almost seems like a no-brainer to me here.
It does, Dave. I mean, you're talking about a quarterback that was able to get his team to the Super Bowl. He started a Super Bowl. There aren't a lot of guys that have started a Super Bowl in the past decade that don't have a job, that want a job. You just don't see it. So it doesn't make sense that the NFL and the teams individually haven't done more to try to explore, you know, whether or not Colin Kaepernick is a fit for him. Bring him in, talk to him, sit down face to face. To me, these would be logical steps, especially given where we're at now, where the tide has turned in terms of how people viewed what he did back in 2016.
Right.
The majority of Americans are now agreeing with why Colin Kaepernick did what he did, because they're seeing it play out in real time. They saw what happened with the murder of George Floyd and Derek Chauvin kneeling on his neck for over 8 minutes. They saw that. And so that's what Colin Kaepernick was trying to protest to bring awareness to. And now we've seen probably the most ugly incident of police brutality in the last decade. That happened in the past month. And so I think everybody now is on board with, you know, Colin Kaepernick and revisiting what he did and reevaluating where their stance was. I mean, I saw Steve Weather put something out on social media last week
yep.
saying he was absolutely wrong for criticizing Colin Kaepernick back in 2016. How many Americans have had that same mea culpa in the past few weeks?
A lot.
But that's what I'm saying. So if you're an NFL team,
including the NFL as an entity.
But that's my whole point, Dave. So if you're an NFL owner, or if you're an NFL general manager, whatever backlash that you think you're going to get for signing Colin Kaepernick, it's not going to be what it was in 2016 and 2017. It's not going to be what you feared back then.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if he came out, and I don't know that he has or would, I don't think he has, and said, I don't want to be a backup quarterback and you're Pete Carroll. Well, that's a different conversation. But as far as I'm concerned, he's willing to be a backup quarterback right now. And there's no way you can convince me that he's not worthy of a shot. 800-919-3776. We'll get to the calls in a moment. More from Pete Carroll, Seahawks.com. He talked to a team right now that's interested in Colin Kaepernick as their quarterback.
After all of the time that, you know, the years that have passed, I never received a phone call about him. I never talked to another head coach about it. I never talked to anybody about it until today. I'm going to tell you who it was. I got a phone call today asking, inquiring about the situation. So I know somebody's interested.
Good.
So, yeah, it's good that somebody's interested. Now that somebody needs to reach out to Colin Kaepernick's representation and not reach out to Pete Carroll. That's what needs to happen now. I mean, that's what you would like to see. I mean, Michael Vick was given a chance after being convicted and spending almost 2 years in jail. He was given a second chance. You would think that a guy like Colin Kaepernick, who finds himself on the right side of history, the NFL would try to make sure they align themselves with him, and somebody, one of these teams, would give him a job. You hope that happens.
I really do. And I think it would be good for the league. I think it'd be good for him. And I think in the long term, it'd actually be good for the team that signed him.
I think it would be great for the team that signed him as well. It'd be interesting to kind of look around the landscape of the National Football League and try to find a fit, to try to find a place that makes a whole lot of sense. But I mean, there's no way you can convince me that Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a place in the NFL. Dave, he's 32 years old.
I know.
All right. So
look at
that.
Backup quarterbacks right now, Chris, and you'd say, who? I mean, you're telling me that he's not better than a hobbled Joe Flacco coming off of neck surgery right now?
Dave, Joe Flacco is not even going to be ready at the start of the season. Yeah, man. I mean, listen, you don't have to convince me. You're preaching to the choir, but he's absolutely good enough, even being 3 years removed from playing, to have a place in the NFL. It's just a matter of, is a team willing to take on everything that comes with Colin Kaepernick, given that he might not be a starting quarterback for you?
Yeah. Well, I guess the question is it time now for a team to do that? 800-919-3776. Let's go to some calls. Roslyn in Jersey. Roslyn, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hello. How are you?
Hi.
I just wanted to share, it's not a new idea. The Scientific American, Washington Post wrote about the psychology of taking a knee. And I just feel it's important for us to remember that when people kneel, it's symbolic. It's a representation of submissiveness. It's a quest for respect. In some cases, it's even an act of mourning. So when Kaepernick knelt, it wasn't by any means to show disrespect to a tradition, a cultural tradition. Kneeling is not required by law when the American National Anthem is being sung. It was to show that I'm asking for mercy for myself, for any person of color who has been harshly treated by society. And I think that's really important for people to remember, especially.
Rosalind, I don't think people are capable. A lot of people are capable of seeing it like that. They look at it as, and I agree with you, and that was Kaepernick's, goal from the beginning of this thing was to raise right. awareness. But I feel like so many people have the, you kneel during the anthem, you're a bad person, you disrespect the flag, and it's just, it's very cut and dry with a lot of people.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. But that's why whenever the conversation comes up, I just feel if those of us who do see the other side of it keep making that point, you know, you just spread the word. It's important. It's an important and valid point that it's not about disrespect. It's almost heartbreaking. It's asking for mercy and understanding. To be on your knees in a lot of religions is a sign of submission. It's actually more respectful to kneel than it is to stand in some instances. And I do agree with you that most Americans do see it as simply, that's our flag. You better stand to show your respect. And I understand that angle. But as someone who has been disenfranchised, that's not the objective. It's just draw attention to the fact that we need mercy and understanding to make things better for all people of disenfranchisement, for all people who have been hurt by society's practices. That's the important point.
Yeah, I think the people on this show, and thanks to the call, Roslyn, are in complete agreement.
Well, I think even more people are in agreement across the country now than back in 2016.
Right.
I think more people share that viewpoint of our last caller than not. So to me, this is not even about whether it's disrespecting the flag or it's disrespecting the men and women in the military, because
which
it's clear
is not
and
the
obvious
intent,
that that's,
by the way.
That's yeah, it's not clear and obvious that that's not what it was, and that back in 2016, the message got hijacked by certain political figures, and they tried to manipulate it and misrepresent what the protest was all about. So we realize that that's not where we're at. That's not what it's about. And I think George Floyd's murder opened the eyes of a lot of people around the world. And so the stance on that format of protest is different, which is why I believe the door is opened slightly for Colin Kaepernick to have a return to playing in the NFL. I just don't know whether or not a team is going to afford him that opportunity.
Now more than ever, Chris. Now more than ever. Now, Randy Leahy, and this just, it shows the disconnect. He tweets, Cap sucked at the end. He was replaced by Blaine Gabbert. 4 years out of league. You guys think he's a top 64 quarterback right now? No chance. We just played you a soundbite of Pete Carroll's telling you he saw Kaepernick as a starter quality quarterback. So how can you sit here and tell us that he just stunk at the end and there was no chance? It doesn't add up. Guys, let's be honest about it. If you don't want him to return to the NFL, I mean, that's your prerogative. But to sit here and tell me that he's right now not a top 64 or capable of competing to be a top 64 quarterback in the NFL is just ridiculous, Chris. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, Dave. And you bring up Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert is a backup quarterback right now. He's a backup quarterback right now for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That Blaine Gabbert still has a job, as terrible as he is.
And he's terrible.
He's terrible. Colin Kaepernick quarterbacked a team to the Super Bowl. He wasn't a passenger. He was a difference maker. This guy got his team to the Super Bowl. And you're saying that this guy doesn't have a place in our league?
Or at least a shot to have a place in the league.
I mean, Joe Flacco was terrible out in Denver last year.
And is recovering from major surgery.
He's recovering from neck surgery, and the Jets just signed him as a backup. So, I mean, if you want to come up with all of these excuses as to why Colin Kaepernick shouldn't be in the NFL, you're really outing yourself. You really are. You're really telling on yourself in terms of where you lie and how you feel about the issues that are going on and what Colin Kaepernick is trying to take a stand for. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because
to
sit here and argue that Colin Kaepernick shouldn't be in the league because he can't play, that's ridiculous.
I mean, we could run through the backup quarterbacks, and I guarantee you right now, without a second hesitation, he'd be a top 10 backup quarterback in this league. Right? I mean, right, without even spending more than 3 minutes on it, you could do that right now.
Well, here's the thing, Dave. I mean, wherever you want to rank him in terms of where he would be with backup quarterbacks, it to me, we can do that, but that's beside the point.
Of course it is, because it's so obvious. I mean, I mean, Brett Hundley, Kyle Allen, I mean, come on. Right?
I'm laughing because these guys, we have no idea what those guys are. But we know what Colin Kaepernick is. It's a proven commodity. And is there going to be some rust because he's missed 3 years? Absolutely. But I still think he could figure it out. I still think he could come around. Keep in mind, Michael Vick, after being in jail for 2 years.
Yeah.
came back, had a year to shake off the rust, and then had a Pro Bowl year the following season.
It's amazing to me that we were more welcoming as a country of Michael Vick than we are of Colin Kaepernick to return.
Convicted felon, Dave.
Yeah. And it's sad to me too. Let's go to Jason in Florham Park. Jason, you're next up on 98.7.
Just want to touch base real quick on the kneeling thing. I mean, like, and then I'll get into Kaepernick real quick, but it's like, it's okay to be against the kneeling during the national anthem and not like the timing of it, but be completely behind the protest and understanding wanting social change. You can separate.
No, you can't. No, I'm not even going to entertain that call. No, can't do that no more. We're not doing that. After we saw what happened to George Floyd, the urgency that we all need to have, listen, if you want to be an ally of the movement in the fight for equality and the fight against racism, you can't criticize the format of protest that the people that are being oppressed, the people that are being marginalized are using. So if you want to call up to our show and you want to criticize and say, oh, well, you can be against the kneeling but support the message. No, we're not doing that. Black Americans are dying in the street. The sense of urgency is got to be ratcheted up. In the form of protest to bring awareness to the issues, that's what Colin Kaepernick chose, and he actually did it until the message got manipulated. And so I'm not going to go down that. I'm not going to go down that road anymore, Dave, with people trying to say we're advocating for change, but we want to criticize the protest. No, we're not doing that.
I agree with you.
We're not doing that.
I mean, listen, the NFL, after four long years, has finally taken the side of Colin Kaepernick. They didn't mention his name, which I thought they should have, but they've taken that side now. Dan in Long Island. Dan, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right.
I just wanted to comment on this. How do you feel about Colin Kaepernick going to Minnesota, let's say? Their backups are trash, and it's pretty fitting for him to play in Minneapolis.
Listen, I don't care where he goes. Doesn't matter to me.
Is he better than Sean Mannion and Nate Stanley? I'm sure he is.
Honestly, until you just said it, I never heard of Nate Stanley. And Sean Mannion is come on.
Yeah, you heard of Nate Stanley, Dave. I think he's the Iowa kid.
Yeah,
quarterback from Iowa. Yeah. But I mean, exactly. I mean, would he be a fit? Yeah, I'm sure. There are a lot of teams that you'd be able to point to and say, you know what? Colin Kaepernick would be a good fit as a backup, and it'd give him an opportunity to get back in the league. You could say that about a lot of teams, Dave. Which team it ends up being, we don't know. I think it's going to take progressive people throughout the organization that are responsible for making those decisions.
Most importantly,
the general manager, team president, and team owner.
There's 32 teams. If we can't find one team to take them, then have we really honestly come as far as we think we have?
No. No. And that in and of itself says a lot, Dave. So while everybody is recognizing that they were wrong for how they treated Cap back in 2016, and Americans were wrong for criticizing the format of protest, we've gotten past all that. Even Drew Brees came out and said, you know what, he was wrong about criticizing the format of the protest, and he pushed back against our president when Donald Trump responded to what was going on. To me, everybody is recognizing that was wrong. And so even with that now, if we're not able to take steps toward being more inclusive and bringing Colin Kaepernick back into the NFL family, I just think that would say a lot about the authenticity and the NFL's intentions about, you know, Roger Goodell releasing that video and taking the stance that they're taking. It would feel like it was more lip service than anything else.
If they
really didn't make a genuine effort to try to get Colin Kaepernick back in the league.
Let's take one more, and then we'll get ready for Jordan Renan coming up in just a matter of moments. Pete in Yonkers. Pete, you're next up on 98.7, buddy.
Hey, what's up, guys? Do you guys really think in your heart of hearts that Colin Kaepernick would take a one-year deal for $4 or $5 million at this point from a team?
Well, I don't think they would know unless they asked. I think that the conversation has to start. I mean, you gotta be able to talk to him. You gotta be able to bring him in and interview him, sit down and see if where he's at and where that team is at is a good fit.
Yeah, I guess we gotta start by bringing him in, but I do think teams are maybe scared off by, even though it was a dog and pony show, the tryout that Goodell set up, you know, Colin kind of switched things around at the last minute. Do you think teams are scared that if they bring him in, you know, they kind of have a conversation, maybe the next day it turns into something else?
Well, I don't know why they would be scared off about it if they brought him in to have a conversation, if they were interested in having him be a part of their football team. I don't know how that could be construed as a negative as far as the team goes.
No, I don't think it's a negative. I just, like you said, he's one of the best 64 quarterbacks. I think everyone can agree with that. If he was a top 10 quarterback, I don't know if this would be an issue at all. Do you guys?
No, I think if he's a top 10 quarterback, he's probably playing in the NFL.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that they look past all the side issues. Now, Rick apparently is listening to the show because all he does is consume. He says, how about this point? How about this? But can't you hear him doing this? Like, how about this point?
Of course.
Most teams are going to be carrying three quarterbacks anyway with the state of COVID-19 and needing to have the extra quarterback.
Financial ramifications.
Yeah, the ramifications of the whole thing.
Yeah, man. Dave, it's going to be an issue. And here's the thing. You're talking about a quarterback-driven league, but there's always a demand for quarterbacks, especially as the season goes on, because teams are going to have to deal with injuries. And as you just mentioned, what's going on with the pandemic, you know, say, for instance, you know, a team has their starting quarterback get infected with COVID-19. Well, their backup becomes a starter. Then what are they going to do? You know what I mean? They have to have a contingency plan. Now, a lot of teams like to only carry two quarterbacks on your roster, but, you know, Colin Kaepernick could be one of those quarterbacks that's on the short list, you know, if you have an injury or something happened to one of your starting quarterbacks. So I think there's obviously a place for Colin Kaepernick, but if a team was going to bring him into their program, I think that would happen at some point throughout the offseason. I don't see that as being an in-season move. Does that make sense?
It does, and that means that the clock is ticking, because we're talking about training camp starting in, what, 4 to 5 weeks right now?
Yeah, they're saying that it could start as early as middle of July. So that's not that far from now. So, I mean, listen, there's no reason why Colin Kaepernick shouldn't have a job, but I think that there are a lot of NFL owners that are hesitant about doing that, especially when you consider a lot of these NFL owners' position and relationship with the current president and how our current president feels about Kaepernick's format of protest. So it's a lot of moving parts. It's some complex dynamics that are at play, but it just feels like it's the right thing for the NFL to do, to bring Colin Kaepernick back into the family. They got to figure out a way to make that happen.
Yep, we agree on that. All right, today on ESPN Daily, back in 1998, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa chased MLB's home run record. Hear what it was like behind the scenes and how perception of the era changed as steroid use came to light. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. I want to remind you can listen to us anywhere. Click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. Let's bring him in, Jordan Renan, to the show. Jordan, how are you?
What's going on, guys? I'm good, you?
We're okay. No Rick today. Does that make you happy or does that make you sad?
That you're okay?
No, not that I'm okay, that no Rick today on the show.
Oh, yeah, I was waiting for that, you know, the comment. But I thought maybe you could step in, Dave. You know, you throw a little.
No, I won't do that. In fact, and Chris can confirm this, Rick has a new disparaging way to go after you. He calls you, I don't know if you've heard that, the new, or the, what does he call him? Kevin Burkhart. You're the lesser Kevin Burkhart.
Yeah, he's the, yeah.
In appearance.
In appearance, you know, Kevin Burkhart's a good-looking guy. I'll take it.
So you take being number two to Kevin Burkhart?
I mean, I'll take it. Kevin Burkhart's a good-looking guy, doing pretty well for himself. You know, he's big time.
Yeah, right. But Rick doesn't Rick doesn't paint you in a flattering way when he says you are a lesser version of Kevin Burkhart.
No, like the very poor man's version. Yeah.
I mean, I could name other guys, though, you know, that could be a lesser version, and then I'd be like, you know, but Kevin Burkhart, I could deal with that. It could be worse than that. I get, you know what? I get the same. I get the same thing with people a bunch of times, Beth. Being although they don't say lesser version, they usually say younger version of Bob Papa.
Well, I don't think that's terrible either.
No, that's what I said. I mean, I have no problem with that.
You know, I think that's a better one, actually. You do look like a young version of Bob Papa.
Some resemblance, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know how much younger I'm looking anymore, though, because my hair might be grayer than his days.
What's the hair situation? We saw the disaster that happened a couple of weeks ago around the draft. What's it like now?
No, it grew back. And now what I'm doing is I'm buzzing the sides, but I have not touched the top. Because I can't risk that anymore. That was
you don't trust yourself?
No, definitely not. I mean, that thing, you should see this. It was really, really short. I mean, really short. Like a four on the top for me was like, you know, it didn't look good.
All right, so we got Jordan Renan. Giants are in the news. Let's start with Daniel Jones. Tell us as much as you can about this kind of passing camp, passing academy going on down in Texas right now.
Well, here's what I know. Daniel Jones is, this year is a little different for him because Eli Manning's not around, right? Last year, he was the guy for most of the year, but Eli was still around. And that changes the situation a little bit. Now, this is Daniel Jones' team. He even talked about it recently. He said, you know, I understand there's more responsibility that he has to fill in that leadership role, that's something that he looks at and he's going to take seriously. And now he's down there setting up. This was him that set up and spearheaded these workouts in Austin, Texas. Right? So for him to do that, that just shows you of where he stands on this team. Like, this is now Daniel Jones' team. I think that's pretty clear. Right? And the fact that he did this and, you know, guys have been popping in and out and he's getting this work. And it's important because this is not an ideal offseason for the Giants not to have mini camps, OTAs, all these things, because they're learning a new offense, right? They're learning a new offense with a second-year quarterback. Ideally, you'd want to be there running plays. So the idea that they are at least able to get down there and work on stuff and work on timing, right? Work on specific routes. Different coaches want different things from different routes and stuff. So I think it's a big step in Daniel Jones' growth. And they're also also an opportunity for these guys to spend more time together individually.
I thought another huge step for Daniel Jones in terms of asserting himself as the leader of this football team, Jordan, was when he released that statement on social media this week, vowing to educate himself on the issues around social injustice and some of the things that his black teammates have to deal with, their reality, trying to get things from their perspective. So I thought that was a huge step. But how are the guys in the locker room responding to what Daniel Jones did in the statement that he released on social media this week?
Yeah, guys love it. I mean, they love Daniel Jones in the first place. I mean, this is a guy. The comparison is always going to be there now because they are. You know, he's taking over for Eli Manning, but they're very similar in a lot of those ways, just the way he interacts with people. And this is a very, you know, Eli-type thing to do, right? I mean, Eli Manning is very tolerant, I could see Eli releasing that same statement if he were quarterback of the Giants right now. And so I just think that Daniel Jones' teammates are fully on board, and just to see him do that, you saw – if you looked around, there was a lot of his teammates, and I'm not just talking, the Saquon Barkley's of the world and the top of the roster. Everybody, pretty much, like rookies, like bottom of the roster rookies, guys who are bubble players, you know, putting up the fist, you know, the fist emoji, you know, that's my quarterback type of thing. So you could tell what they think of Daniel Jones and what guys think. I haven't met anyone who didn't love Daniel Jones in that locker room. I mean, even from day one last year, I mean, Russell Shepard came up to me and we were talking at one point. And he was a very respected guy in that locker room. I know people, you look at Russell Shepard, I mean, he wasn't a big player, but he was like sort of like he was the stagey veteran guy in that locker room, and he was very well respected. And he came up to me, told me, I'm telling you, you guys are going to end up loving him. Everyone who's, you know, was
This was before they even stepped on the field. I think it was in the summer. Everyone that was booing him or giving him a hard time is going to end up loving this guy. He's just a good guy. He knows how to relate to people, and he's also a good player. And you're going to see that he's a really good player.
Jordan Renan with us here, 98.7 ESPN. You know, Jordan, no one liked the pick, or very few people liked the pick, including me, including Chris, and most Giants fans, I'd say, were upset that they took him 6th overall. I don't think you could script a better start. Granted, he's fumbled the ball. I understand that. It's an issue. He's going to have to correct it. But from a year plus ago to where we are now, he came in, was good early on, just quiet, respectful of Eli, said nothing, took over week 3 from a legend, from someone, and you know this, and you know how hard this city is. He's done nothing wrong. I mean, he played well. He handled himself with composure. And now this offseason, he's been sensational. I mean, if you're the Giants brass, and you know my take on Gettleman, that he's had a lot of missteps as far as GM is concerned, but this, it appears to be a tremendous home run early on, both on and off the field. If you're a Giants fan, you got to feel good about where you are with him right now.
Dave, let's think back, right? One of the things that, and Pat Shurmur was really big about this, and Dave Gettleman was really big about this, one of the big reasons that they drafted Daniel Jones was because they liked his makeup, right? They told you this. They were very, very loud about stating this, about how they thought he had the perfect mindset and character and just the way he handles himself to handle the New York market. And that was a big reason on why they drafted him. And now we're sitting here a year later, and you can see some of those things, right? You can see, oh, the way he carries himself is perfect for this market, right? The way he operates, the way he works. Like that was, for the Giants, that was sort of the clincher. I think that was the difference, actually, between, and it wasn't between Dwayne Haskins and Daniel Jones. It was between Daniel Jones and Drew Lock. But that character, I think, of what they saw in Daniel Jones was the difference. And that's why he's the Giants quarterback. And I was talking to Dan Orlovsky recently, right? And he watched all of these rookie quarterback snaps probably a few weeks ago. And he was very critical of Daniel Jones' pick as well. He wasn't that high on Daniel Jones coming out of the draft. And like you said, everything has been so good. He was a big fan of Dwayne Haskins. And he said, last year, going into the year, he had Dwayne Haskins above Daniel Jones significantly. And now, after everything that's happened in the last year, he wouldn't go as far to put Daniel Jones ahead because he still likes Dwayne Haskins' talent and what he was a big fan of his talent. And we really don't know what he is, right? Because his rookie year was a disaster. Just put in a really tough situation. So he basically jumped Daniel Jones up to even with Dwayne Haskins because of what has happened over this last year. Now, a lot of people probably, we're a reactive society, would probably even put Daniel Jones above Dwayne Haskins. Maybe that, and I probably would too, because I think we have more of a known, right? We know more about what Daniel Jones is going to be as a pro right now than we do with Dwayne Haskins.
Jordan, I want to ask you about this year's first-round draft pick, Andrew Thomas. Now, I know there's a lot of concern when you draft a guy in the top 10 about being able to work past the stipulations in the contract and offset language. Most of the money is already set, but offset language has been a problem for some rookies with certain clubs around the NFL. Do we anticipate any of that being an issue with Andrew Thomas getting under contract before training camp?
I don't think so. It's not something that I would worry about. You know what's interesting about the contracts for the Giants right now and everybody? You would need to pass a physical to really have your contract signed and completely done. And, you know, the James Bradburys of the world, they've never had an opportunity to come up here. Their contracts are not done yet, right? They're signed, but they're not fully sealed. Like, none of this is done yet. And so if somebody suffered, like, this really serious injury, I wonder how it would play out. It's something I had asked Kevin Abrams when we had him on a conference call, and it's like, And the answer was sort of like, well, that's just sort of how it goes. I mean, there's nothing we can do about that. But you got to think about that. Imagine James Bradberry suffered, and you don't want to say this about anybody, or forget, let's not even say James Bradberry's name. Any of these free agents they signed this offseason, one of them suffered a catastrophic knee injury, right, mm-hmm. in training. Like, their knee just blew up.
Mm-hmm.
And he tore, like, every ligament. What happens to that guy then at this point? What happens? The Giants
he gets nothing. He'd fail the physical. He'd get nothing.
What? But Jordan, I mean, I guess my question.
I think there would be insurance purpose, you know, ways around it. But I mean, those kind of things are not out of the question in this just bizarro world of an off season or really 2020 in general in society.
But Jordan, wouldn't that hurt a team in future free agency cycles in terms of negotiating in good faith if something like that were to happen and they were to rescind a contract that they agreed upon in principle?
Oh, absolutely. So these are all things that would have to be taken into consideration. That's the thing is the Giants, and it would have to be such a bad injury that the guy basically can't play again or would never be the same again. Like that. To them, even for any team in the NFL to even think about going to that level. But, yeah, but I'm just saying these are the kind of things that are still out there. And then think about it. If you're that guy right now, what would you do? If you sign this big deal, you're guaranteed $10 million, $15 million, whatever the number is. But you didn't get that signing bonus. You didn't get that big signing bonus because you weren't able to go take a physical yet. Like, would you worry about your training at that point?
Well, Jordan,
it's a tough spot.
Well, Jordan, to be honest with you, I was kind of faced with a similar decision after the 2008 season. I was going into free agency in 2009. And to be honest with you, I did not work out one single day before I signed my contract with the New York Giants because of that same concern, risking injury. So, yeah, you're right. In terms of these veteran free agents that have agreed to contracts this spring but have yet to sign them, you worry about their readiness when they report to training camp in 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, so this is – it's just going to be such a fascinating year in so many different ways. This is going to be a year unlike any other. I mean, how training camp is going to operate, I spoke to an executive with another team the other day. He doesn't even know, you know, if the way that the NFL is going to have to operate is going to be feasible, right? Like in training camp. I mean, this is how bizarre all this stuff is. Like all these regulations. I mean, you're going to have to practice separately with offense and defense. So you're going to have two separate practices or just run out certain position groups per practice at one time. Nobody really knows for sure right now. But 90, I'll tell you what, 90 guys is a lot. So putting 90 guys in a meeting room might not be a realistic thing.
And Jordan, you're bringing up a good point. I guess this is not the offseason that you want to be breaking in a rookie head coach, but what are some of the things that the Giants organization – what are some of the things that they're doing to try to mitigate the effects of not having the rookie head coach have an opportunity to be around the players this offseason?
Well, I do think that, and this is why I think it was a big deal, to have a guy like Jason Garrett around is an important thing because you're talking about a guy who has been the head coach in the NFL before, not just been a head coach. He's been the head coach for a long time as the Dallas Cowboys. So this is now a resource that he can, you know, he can rely on, that he can go to and ask how he would handle these situations. And so I really do believe that even more so than we thought is a big factor with this Giants team. And Joe Judge is taking, I mean, he told us a few months back, he basically had a different color calendar for every schedule that they're going to come out with. Like, you know, they were going to delay OTAs. They were going to cancel OTAs. They were going to cancel minicamp. There was going to be no preseason. So he's trying to come up with as many contingencies as possible. And he has all those plans. But you're still – there's no way around it, Chris. Everybody, and I don't care. That includes Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll. Everybody's kind of working on the fly here because – nobody knows even what to expect from training camp at this point. They're just going to make the best of what they have, I think. And I don't think anybody, whether you're a first-year coach, whether you're, you know, in your 20th year, or whatever Belichick is in, I don't think there's any way around it. This is going to be uncharted territory for everybody. But let's be honest, the flip side is the teams that have been together the longest, the Saints, teams like that, that are now like those veteran teams, they're the teams with the advantage.
Last one from me. Knowing that we're going to have such shortened training camps and no offseason to speak of at all, is it unlikely to think Andrew Thomas is going to be the starting left tackle for the Giants when the season gets going?
I don't know about left tackle, but I know he will be. I feel confident.
I know he's going to start. He's the fourth pick in the draft. But I'm just saying, like, is it difficult to envision him taking the spot of Nate Solder at left tackle?
I always thought it was more likely that Solder was going to stay if he stayed with the Giants at left tackle for this year. So I would say this only further. This only makes that my feelings stronger on that. That he's Andrew Thomas will probably end up on the right side for a year or so.
All right,
Jordan. Last question for me: what ends up happening with Marcus Golden?
Yeah, I made some calls this week on that. The longer this goes, you know, every day that goes by, right? It's one day closer that Marcus Golden is to returning to the Giants. Now,
what's the date? By the way, Jordan, what's the date that?
Well, that's the thing. Okay, the date is July 22nd. Or it was supposed to be, I think that's supposed to be the start of opening of training camps. But here's the thing. Does that change now? Does it get pushed back? Because what if the start of training camp for every team, the first team that gets into training camp, isn't July 22nd? What if it's moved around?
Right.
So I don't know. There's a lot of gray area here. Again, uncharted territories of when that date is going to be. Let's just say, for our purposes, July 22nd. Right, there's mm-hmm. going to be at some point, as we get closer to the beginning of training camp, there's going to be some dominoes that fall. Because think about who is out there. It's not just Marcus Golden, right? There's Jadeveon Clowney. There's Marcus Golden. There's Everson Griffin. There's Vinnie Curry. There's Cameron Wake. There's a bunch of pass rushers, veteran pass rushers, that are out there. And at some point, these guys are going to sign with teams. So their dominoes are going to start to fall. Now, I don't know when it's going to be, because we really don't know what the full NFL calendar is at this point. We think it's going to be around that July 22nd mark, but I don't think anybody knows for sure. And we'll see. I do believe that the Giants are going to add a veteran pass rusher, even if it's not Marcus Golden, like somebody probably from that list. Because
Jordan,
they need that veteran guy in that group.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Jordan, I'm going to channel my inner DiPietro and ask you one more question. What's the latest on DeAndre Baker?
It's kind of in a wait-and-see mode. It's in the state attorney's the hands of the state attorney's office to see if they're going to go through with the case and the charges. Now, the Giants have told DeAndre Baker to stay away from their offseason program for the time being, concentrate on his legal issues, right? So that's the way they decide to go about it. The Seattle Seahawks have told Quentin Dunbar, he's been part of their offseason program, they seem pretty confident that this is going to be dropped, okay? That there's ultimately the state attorney's office is going to decide that the case against Quentin Dunbar is not a case that they could prosecute. Now, the question is, where is it with DeAndre Baker? Nobody really knows, but there's definitely been things that have been evidence that has been added since the warrant. There's been more investigation since the warrant. So there does seem to be some doubt of whether the case is going to go through. So we'll have to see what happens here. And what I was told was, generally speaking, they like to make a decision within the first 30 days. There's a reason. There's something to do with the bond on the 30th day and whatever. So we're getting pretty close to that 30th day mark, because I think it was the 16th of May.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that? That's 15.
Yeah, so we're right there. So that's next Tuesday, right?
Monday. 30 days is Monday. So I think we should be finding out pretty soon whether they're going to go forward with this case. And look, it's pretty simple. If they go forward with the case and DeAndre Baker is facing 8 counts of between the two charges of aggravated assault with a firearm and armed robbery, and they're going to go through with the case, it's hard to imagine that he's going to be playing, right? I mean, is there any way? Do you remember anybody facing charges like that and being on the field and playing?
No.
So there you go. So
All right. I
would be hard pressed if they go through with it to imagine that DeAndre Baker is going to be part of this team this year.
Jordan, good stuff. Thanks for catching up with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it. You guys stay healthy and safe, all right?
All right, good stuff. That, of course, is one of our favorites, Jordan Renan.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.